We'll call the March 2nd, 2009 Game and Fish Forestry Division meeting to order. Representative Saylor moved the minutes of February 23rd. Anyone have any questions? All in favor of the minutes motion, say aye.
Aye.
And the minutes are approved. All right, now we have House File 709. The chair will move the bill for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Game and Fish Bill. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I've got a couple testifiers here that would like to testify on the bill, but basically what this bill does is I got a couple of gentlemen that brought this to my attention. They're avid duck hunters, and why don't I call them down, Jeff and Pat? And what it is they when they go out and duck hunt on public land, they get out there, and most people, if you live in the near in the metro area, if you go out hunting, you have to get out there really early if you want to get a good spot. And these guys go out there early in the morning, and they get their spot on the lake, and they sit there. And right now, they can't put their decoys out till an hour before. As they said, sometimes they'll put up to 300 decoys out, and that's tough to do in an hour before, plus get back into your blind. And as long as they're there anyway, they figure, why can't we put the decoys out? Because we're not going to leave, we're going to be there. So if you see the bill, they have to stay attending, and they cannot leave them unattended. And they got to be in constant attendance of the decoys. And that's basically what the bill does. And I'll let them speak. And
let's hear from the testifiers. Your name for the record, please, and go ahead with your testimony.
Jeff Peterson. And I did bring a picture here. We have one of the number of decoys we set out. I regularly, when we go out duck hunting, I regularly arrive at the lake at 2 in the morning, maybe 2:30, and I'll readily admit that, you know, this is what I do. I might be a little nuts about it, but I arrive at 2 in the morning, and I secure my spot just merely by being there so that nobody else can, you know, obviously get, usually on any given lake there's one or two really good spots, and that's where you want to be. And then we wait till an hour before, and as you can see in the picture there, between me and Pat here, we'll set, those are the decoys in late season that we'll set and one to hunt over for that day. And there's 270 something decoys there. And it works out to, per person, like 2 1/3 decoys a minute. And it's impossible. I mean, when you're out there in 30-mile-an-hour winds sometimes, and snow and ice coming in, and you got to break it off, and you're trying to hang onto a boat and set decoys, and you got an hour to do it. And a lot of times you can't get done until a half hour into shooting time. And by then, you might have missed out on the first two flocks of the morning, and let's face it, Minnesota, those might be the only two flocks you're going to see that day someday. I mean, it's, you know, so just looking for more time. We're not members of a private hunting club or anything like that. We don't want anybody to be able to reserve their spot with decoys either. I mean, I think you've got to be there with your decoys. I don't want anybody being able to take that spot from me any more than they want me to take it from them.
Questions of the
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess my suggestion would be to not have such a big spread. I mean, I'm an avid duck hunter too, and we go out with just more people to put out more decoys. And the problem with the bill here would open up wide open to cordon off a whole lake, depending on how big your decoy spread was. And if all you have to do is attend them and leave somebody there, numerous attempts have been made to change this law over the years, and the decoy law has gone back and forth and back and forth as far as when you can and when you can't leave decoys out, and owning the land adjacent and whether it's sufficient vegetation to conceal a hunter, and it's been argued about for years. But the way you've changed it here, it would give a huge advantage to people with big strings and somebody that just wanted to leave somebody in attendance with them. But for years, people have gone out in the canoe and or a boat, a duck boat, and sat there. You see flashlights all around, and people mark their spots already. But just out of fairness, if you were allowed to do this, I mean, the big spring hunters could take up, you know, vast areas of lakeshore and push the small hunter out, or the person that can't spend all that time. So that's the problem I have with the bill is presented here.
Other questions of the test plan? Thank you. We'll get to the next test plan.
State your name for the record.
This is Pat Miskey from Pine City.
I'm going to spell your last name.
C-U-M-I-S-K-E-Y. And basically, it's just needs more time to put out that many decoys. And it's a lot of decoys, but it's not extravagant. I mean, I've got a rig of maybe 130 decoys, and just as Jeff has 140. So it's not extravagant. I mean, it's, you know, all different species and everything. And it's just, like myself, I've got a pacemaker and a heart valve. And to try and hold the boat and put all the decoys out in 1 hour and get back and get your boat all situated before hunting time, it's basically impossible. And I don't know if you want it, if you're concerned about doing it for such a long period of time, you could maybe change it from 1 hour to 3 hours, you know, so everybody would have the same chance instead of you could go out there any time. But, you know, it's open for, you know, I don't know, I can't remember his name in the corner there, but limit it to 3 hours or 2 hours or whatever, but it just would be nice to have a little bit more time, and that's about it.
How much do you folks need?
Time?
Yep.
I'd say, worst case scenario, 3 hours would be more than enough time for to do it.
Questions of the test fire? There are none. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Captain Conrad.
You got a copy of the amendment? Let me get them passed out.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Chief Jim Conrad, Division of Enforcement. That's about an hour old, so I'm still kind of trying to get my arms around that.
Oh, you got breaking news there.
Yeah.
Somebody called Dennis Anderson.
I think that's tomorrow morning. Mr. Chair, the Division of Enforcement doesn't really have an issue with extending those hours a little bit. You know, if it takes 2 hours or 3 hours, we would just not like to see it completely open to, you know, somebody could set their decoys the night before and attend them all night long and be in that position and therefore kind of preempt anybody else from getting on that lake. I know that it's an arms race when you're out there having hunted public land or public waters in Minnesota where people are out there at 2, 3 in the morning and then they're sitting in the cold until shooting hours. So I know that would maybe just escalate it a little bit. The one thing that we really do have some issues with is the state or the constant attendance, that term. And we don't know how to really define that. We would like something maybe more more definable and more enforceable, something like immediate vicinity, attending in the immediate vicinity or something like that. We haven't really worked out the language yet, but we would be willing to work with the author to come to some sort of compromise or some acceptable language to all parties.
Well, Chief, why don't you come up with some language and get it back to me?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to do that.
I was going to ask you actually about constant attendance. We've struggled with those kinds of things. Immediate, what was last year's bill with the 10 and 11-year-olds within immediate reach or arm's reach? And, you know, it's always a struggle here and some up to some interpretation. And the other thing I'd like to know is, would you have, I asked the testifiers, if they had a number or an hour number that you think would be reasonable? And one other question. I don't recall that we do this, but can you have non-hunters assisting in putting out decoys?
Mr. Chair, if you are assisting, you would need to be licensed and have the proper stamp. So they couldn't hire some kid to sit in the boat and attend those things while they were off doing whatever they wanted to do.
Well, I was thinking in terms of in terms of putting the decoys out, not attending. I'm sorry, I should have been more specific.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. They would need a license and stamps to assist in the taking of the ducks.
Okay, very good. And if you could come in, unless you have a number right now that you'd like to share with the committee in terms of hours, what do you think might be reasonable to accommodate some of these people that with larger spreads?
Mr. Chair, you know, 2 hours sounds reasonable. Certain conditions and with the numbers of decoys that they're putting out, having experience with some of those big spreads in adverse weather conditions, you know, I can understand even 3 hours. I certainly, just off the top of my head, wouldn't want to see it extend much beyond that.
And Steve Conrad, does that include field hunting, the present regulation, or we're just talking about water hunting?
Mr. Chair, that's just water hunting.
Water hunting.
Yep.
Good. So if you're putting out a snow goose spread in a wheat field or a corn field, you could do it all night?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay.
Although in current days with the price of decoys the way they are, I wouldn't trust that. They have a tendency to disappear if you leave them unattended.
Well, I wasn't referring to unattended. I was referring to the length of time to put them out.
Mr.
I mean, I was hunting over a snow goose spread that had 2,000 rags in it, and that took a while to put out. And so, I guess I never even thought about it until this bill came forward. What you can and cannot actually do.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that you're correct in that assumption.
Yeah. Okay, any questions of Chief Conrad? Representative Pell.
Mr. Chair, not a question for the new chief, but aren't the Muskie and the Northern guys going to come and post this?
but I'm sure the uncased opponents will be here to oppose this. Okay, thank you, Chief Conrad.
Thank you.
And Representative Hackbarth has the... 067 amendment. Representative Hackbarth moves the amendment. Has the author reviewed the amendment?
No, I haven't seen the 067 amendment.
We need to get him a copy of the amendment. Representative Hackbarth, can you explain the amendment and we'll go back to the author.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an issue that was brought to me by, he's not one of my constituents, but he's a friend of mine. He's Representative Abler's constituent. And this is an issue that he's been very concerned about for a while. And I'd rather him, knowing about the issue much better than I, have him explain the amendment, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, that would be fine. Is that Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
Mr. Weaver, could you come up to the testimony, to the stand, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this particular amendment, I brought this forward today, Mr. Chairman, because it's the same area of law. And I'd like to have Mr. Weaver have an opportunity to speak to his issue. I also have this being drafted as a bill, so actually my intent is to withdraw this amendment, if you don't mind, if Mr. Weaver can speak to the issue. I was worried about committee deadlines, that sort of thing. I'd just like to have Mr. Weaver have his opportunity to speak to this issue, because it is the same area of law, and if we need to have another hearing on the bill, should we have time, he'd be more than happy to come down at that time again. But the main thing was I wanted him to have the opportunity to speak to the issue, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Hackbarth withdraws the 0067 amendment. And now, Mr. Weaver, introduce yourself for the record and then go ahead with your testimony explaining the amendment that has now been withdrawn.
Thank you, Chairman Deal, Representative. My name is Jeff Weaver. I live in Anoka, Minnesota. But we also have property up in the Brainerd Lake area where we've been since the 20s and have hunted the lakes up there pretty hard. And with the way the language in the bill now reads, during open water season for waterfowl, a person may not leave decoys in public water unattended between sunset and 1/2 hour before lawful shooting hours, or leave decoys unattended during other times for more than 4 consecutive hours unless the decoys are in adjacent waters to private land under the control of the hunter, and 2, there is not sufficient vegetation growing in the water to sufficiently partially conceal a hunter. What we're seeing up on those big open bodies of water are folks that have owned the property, but they're leaving out, as Representative Corn said, strings of decoys, 200, 300 decoys, and they don't take them out all season long. They put them in on opening day, and they stay there till they have to take them out because of freeze-up. Now, if you are a person coming down to hunt on that body of water and coming down to put out decoys, you can't compete with these folks unless you put out these massive strings, especially for diver ducks.
we happen to own some adjoining property, and it's just almost impossible to compete with these decoys that are left out in open water, public water, year-round. And I'd like to see that stricken from the bill.
Okay.
Okay. Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I don't have any problem with that amendment because this language you see on 115 and 118, or 115 through 118, was added a number of years back. There was a big brouhaha, and people that owned land wanted to be able to leave their decoys out, so they put that in there. But the testifier is right. By doing this, if it's a rocky shoreline and not a lot of weeds and they own it, whether it's a quarter mile or there's no length of limits, they can take that whole shoreline up and leave the decoys out and don't even have to leave them attended. So it was there for a purpose, but I didn't like the purpose when it was originally put in there.
Okay, any questions of the testifier? Representative Purcell.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. I know it came up in the docks issue, talking about riparian ownership of the bottom of the lake. I wonder if that comes into play here, if those decoys are anchored in the bottom of the lake, and the legal description of that adjacent riparian property extends into the lake. That's certainly an issue brought up when we're talking about the docks and how big the docks can be in that issue.
I don't think anybody in the committee has the expertise to answer that question. Mr. Kadelka will make a note of that, and we'll check into it as the bill progresses. Representative Hackbar.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe the, I don't know if the DNR would like to speak to the issue or not, too, to the amendment. They might have an opinion there.
Conrad,
that
would you like to come up on that? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. Just one last point before I step aside. In these days of hunter retention and hunter recruitment and fair chase, I'd ask that you consider this. This would be very good.
Okay, thank you. Chief Conrad, any general comments on this, on the withdrawn amendment and how the bill is how it's laid out in that particular section, and on the withdrawn amendment and your experiences in enforcement of this and the problems that the law as it is now written causes the department?
Mr. Chair, I don't see any issues with removing that as far as an enforcement aspect. I agree that some of those big spreads on shorelines devoid of any kind of cover, that natural vegetation that could hide a hunter, I mean, there might be some issues there, especially with the adjacent landowners, and not having to remove those at all. You know, I can see the point. If we struck that, there wouldn't be an enforcement problem per se. I mean, we'd be able to determine whether they were out overnight or left. You know, we could deal with that. I can't speak to the, or to the point of that the sportsman might object to that. There are a lot of places where there wouldn't be those conflicts. In the state of Minnesota, but you know, I understand the plight of the adjacent landowner where you have that out there, and every time you want to, you know, with the fall fishing issues and that sort of thing, every time you want to run your boat through them, you have to do the obstacle course.
So right now, if you had a 50-foot lot on a lake, you would be unlimited on how much lake you could take up with your decoy spread as long as it was centered in front of your property?
Mr. Chair, I think that's right.
Boy, it's a lot easier to hunt on land.
Yeah, it is.
That's the reason I don't do the water.
More
dollars get shot in a cornfield than any place else.
Mr. Chair, I think I'd probably have to research that a little bit. I guess it's something that's never, you know, crossed my mind. We have only started to see some of those conflicts recently.
Could you get back to us on that?
I could certainly do that. That would be
Delta on that.
That would be easier on me, maybe.
I mean, if you just had almost any piece of land, it seems the way that I understand it right now, you could have almost unlimited amount. Representative Cornish.
Well, the big determining factor is on 117 and 118 is the two of them together. First of all, the landowner has to own the waters adjacent to the private, or own the adjacent land private to the waters where they're put out. So like it's at 50 feet, if he or she wanted to put them out there, they'd have to be right out in front of the land. But then the second one, there can't be any natural vegetation that normally conceal a hunter. The reason for that is they thought that if there isn't weeds there to conceal a hunter, and the shore landowner owns it, why would anybody else want to be there? And so why not leave them out? But the problem is it's been abused in hundreds of feet of lakeshore now, and how much is enough to conceal a hunter has been a judge's determination in court. You know, is 3 weeds or 20? And so it's real problematic language that caused a big problem when it got put in there.
Well, it would take less for Representative Powell and more for me.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions of Chief Conrad? Being none, thank you very much. Representative Nelson, last shot on your bill, please.
Well, like I said, this was brought forward to me, and back when I used to duck hunt, and I stopped that because most of my friends were crazy enough anymore to go out with me again, because I also hunted public land, and it was, you'd get out there early in the morning and sit there and shiver till you could put the decoys out and put the spread out, and then put them out, and if you wanted to get a good spot in the lake, you had to get there early. So you were there already, so it wasn't an issue about preempting somebody else. If you were there on the lake, you had the spot already. So that's what this bill is about, and I hope you consider it to be included in your omnibus bill.
Okay, and Chair will renew his motion to lay the bill over for possible inclusion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One of the things, members, before we adjourn is we're going to have Mr. Kadelka is going to explain the number of meetings we have left and what our process is going to be in the very near term, because, you know, we deadlines are at the end of March and we need to have a bill out and get it over to environmental policy. So, Mr. Kadelka.
That was a heck of an explanation.
With the deadlines where they are and the multiple stops that the Game and Fish Bill needs to take, the Game and Fish Bill will need to be assembled not the following Monday, but and 2 Mondays from today. So that will be, it'll have to leave this committee then to go through environment policy and the other necessary stops.
All right, thank you. Questions, Representative Agler?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I just wanted to thank you for indulging me with my amendment. And I am going to have the bill, the amendment drafted of the bill is in the process now of being jacketed. So if we need to hear the bill, we've heard the testimony today. I just think it's the right thing to do is introduce the bill, and then people can see that it's online, all of that sort of thing. So we're all out in the open and not trying to stick something onto something else.
I think that's a good idea. And because we've heard this bill and we kind of get an idea of how this actually lays out in practicality and how your bill would work in concert or not in concert with this, I'd encourage you to get it in for Thursday's introduction so that we can get a hearing on it very soon, so that we can go ahead and kind of get prepared for when we assemble the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, anything else? All righty. See you next Monday. The committee is adjourned.